In case you didn't know, I'm Dylan Laporte, and this is the 28th official Monday Morning PlayStation podcast. Each and every week on Monday at 6 a.m. Eastern Time, a new podcast is released on Spotify, iTunes, other podcasting services, talking about PlayStation news, games I've been playing, and some commentary on what's happening in my life. And as always, feel free to visit my main site, DylanLaporte.com, for blog posts, updates, articles I've written, and much more. So without further ado, let's get this show started. All right, guys, thank you for tuning in to this official 28th Monday Morning PlayStation podcast. I screwed up the last Monday's podcast, which was supposed to be the 28th podcast, but it just, the file got corrupted. It was an hour long. It was a really good podcast, and it was an hour long, and it just, it didn't, the file got corrupted, and I couldn't do anything about it. So what I did was I recorded two small podcasts, and then I did a little bonus on the second one. If you guys catch that on Thursday, it's of a BioShock 2 review, basically, that I didn't also talk to Aaron Coopersmith with, is a friend of mine from college. But I had to do those two just so I could make up for the one I didn't do. And so I wanted to talk about the future of, basically, if you guys didn't catch the last podcast, I wanted to talk about the future of the Thursday afternoon games chat. While I'm still having the Thursday afternoon games chat, it's going to be on pause for a little bit until I can get the Monday Morning PlayStation podcast back up and running every single week. And because this is an hour-long podcast, it'll be easier to get the Thursday afternoon games chat squeezed back into the system, into the cycle, because it's only 15 minutes long. And so it will make things a lot easier if I try to start this back up again and then add the Thursday afternoon podcast. Instead of doing them both again simultaneously, it's just a lot. And so for me, that's what I need to do. And so the Thursday afternoon games chat isn't going anywhere. It will be back, and it's just going to be implemented. It's going to be implemented right now in the Monday Morning PlayStation podcast. So we're going to talk about games I've been playing, which is in the intro. And one of the games I've been playing is Sackboy's Big Adventure on the PlayStation 5. And that is a really fun game. Now, I do have my issues and problems with it. One of them is the lack of, while it is a platformer, it's just the lack of customization. Just as far as, you know, how I remember Little Big Planet, it's just, that game is all about platforming and using some of the devices in the other games. And so this is a solely just a platformer adventure game. But it's just very lacking in customization. And that's one of the things I'm kind of made me upset when playing the game. Especially, you know, it has none of the exclusive skins. And you can't transfer any of the skins from the older games onto it. And so, and there's not really any DLC out for it either. And so hopefully they add new stuff, add free stuff to it, or paid stuff, if it's cool enough or unique enough. It's just lacking in that feature. But overall, I think it's a solid platformer. It's frustrated me a couple of times because just how difficult some of the challenges can actually be. But as far as the time trials, those are a lot of fun, and they take you just extra time. But overall, besides one, I have silver, and overall, I have all the ones I've done, I've had gold, and I almost beaten the game. I need to get at least one more world completed, and then I got the game almost, I got all the time trials almost completed. I got everything on gold, the ones that I've done by one, which I'm just dreading going back to because it's just so difficult. And once I get it, I'll get it and I'll be fine with it. It's just that one moment. It's just when you get that moment in a video game there, you're finally like, yes, finally, you know, it just sometimes it just overjoys you. But, you know, the journey is can be very frustrating, especially if you are a Destiny player going through raids or missions or whatnot. Some of the journeys can be very frustrating, especially if you're on a team of just impatient people. Overall, yeah, that's what I've been playing so far. I've been enjoying my PlayStation 5. Thank you, Sarah, for getting that, my girlfriend, for our 1 year anniversary. And, I didn't think she was gonna get one for me. I was just blown away. She won't tell me exactly how she got or how much she paid for it, but I appreciate it. If you're listening, but yeah, I'm having so much fun with it. I'm coming out with a full review very soon. I don't know if I'm going to hold on to it until they come up with more updates, because they just come out with other updates. I wrote an article on a couple days ago, actually, a whole list of updates they came out with. And then I think it's either I'm going to do a 5 months, or maybe I'm going to wait and do a 6 month review, or do a 1 year review. I'm still figuring out that, because the more I play this, the more I notice things, and those things wouldn't be in my early review of it. So it's just I need to spend more time with it. And I'm not really trying to test it out. I'm just trying to see where and how the system can be pushed, because the games out right now aren't, you know, mind-blowing. They're not going to blow anybody's mind, because the full potential of the PlayStation 5 hasn't been cracked yet by developers, because they're still working on the systems, and the games they're working on for future releases in 2022, 2023, 2024, and so on, they're going to be way better graphically and technically than any of the games we've played so far on the PlayStation 5. Not that the games are not great. I'm talking about the super, you know, hyper realistic, you know, this game feels like it's like in real world, like Uncharted or Last of Us type crap, you know, Naughty Dog style games. Even Control, you can even listen to reviews and interviews with a developer of Control. He's saying it's just the possibilities of PlayStation 5 hasn't been cracked yet, and he's seen some things in the background that has just blown his mind. But that's what I've been playing so far. Little Big Planet. I've also been playing on the PlayStation VR. I've been playing Iron Man, which is super. It is super cool. It is a very unique game. I genuinely, while there are some problems with the PlayStation Move controllers and the space that I am in, overall my experience with that game is really outstanding. That game is well made. It is very. You feel like you're Tony Stark, Iron Man. Yeah, it's just very interesting and cool. And the new PlayStation 5 VR headset, and probably the VR headset and the controllers, with a game like that, it would be super cool, especially with the vibrations, and you could feel with the adaptive triggers. You can generally feel like you're. Instead, with the older PlayStation Move controllers from the PlayStation 3 era, while those controllers are great, and I do think they're better than Kinect and Wii overall, they just were not as family friendly. They beat the Wii, but they were just not, the games on there weren't as, you know, family friendly. Like, that's why it sold millions of copies, you know. But it's just more precise. Until we decided, you know, let me add a little thing to the back of it and then make it work. But yeah, the Iron Man game, if you haven't played PlayStation VR and you're looking for games to play, Iron Man on the PlayStation VR is really good. So I suggest checking that out. And then, yeah, I wanted to mention, besides the Thursday afternoon games chat, I'm also in the process of moving to Portland, Maine in the next couple of months, and it's going to be a huge journey. I'm moving up there with Sarah, my girlfriend, it's her title. She's going up there to go to law school, and I'm coming with her, and I'm going to just, you know, keep working with Lapore Media and the Part-Time Gamer, which this podcast is part of the Part-Time Gamer brand, and Lapore Media is part of my web design, writing, and photography work I do that's not video game related, basically. And so I made those two to keep them separate. So if you're looking for anything, web design, photography, voiceovers, podcasting, whatever, you name it, I can provide it in a high quality, you know, way. And just LaporeMedia.com if you're interested, or DylanLapore.com as well. Both links will get you eventually to where you need to go. But if you're ever interested in what I do, you know, follow me at Dylan's Legos and tweet me or email me or whatever, and we can talk, because I love creating things and I love working with people, and I love video games as well. And that's why I'm doing all this, is just my passion for video games. And so, yeah, we're moving to Portland, Maine. It's going to be fun. I'm going to try to find a career in media somewhere up there. But as I did mention before, I'm working in Lapore Media and the Part-Time Gamer, so I'm trying to keep that up. And if I can make that stable enough for me, make everything stable in the podcast, and have a snip, have a reasonable amount of income coming in so I can survive. that'll be the perfect scenario, and I could enjoy my life. But I also could imagine enjoying my life working under people, especially when, you know, those people don't have to pay for the equipment. Especially, I can't wait to get, like, an amazing camera. That's just, I've been to Best Buy and camera stores and stuff like that, and just trying out some of the Canon cameras in there, and they're just so beautiful and crisp. While I can take good photos with the camera I have right now, it's just, I want to get better sharpness and better image quality. And right now, any camera works, and anybody can use a camera. However, it's also about framing and how your technique and stuff like that. But I'm at the point where, yes, I can do the framing and I can do the techniques, and I'm always learning more. But I just want more crispness and sharpness, more to play around with, and that's what I want. Technically, I don't need gadgets and stuff like that. I don't really use a lot of lights and whatnot. I try to keep it everything simple and natural as possible and just easy to carry, you know. But just crisp and sharp images, that's just really what I want. And right now I have a very basic camera, but a Nikon camera, and you know, the sensor isn't great, but I can manage with it, and that's what's important. It's a DSLR. It's my only DSLR that I can, you know, manage with. And that's what I really like. But I can't wait to get a Canon like that. But moving on, let us talk about what you guys came here to talk about. Yeah. PlayStation News. So I'm looking up the app right now, pulling up my news sources. And so let's get into it. I hope you guys are doing well. Again, I hope you guys' weeks are starting off. Feel free again to tweet me at Dylan Legos. If you have any comments, you want to talk about the podcast, feel free to donate as well, or go to my shop and go ahead and buy t-shirts or whatnot of the Part-Time Gamer and the Monday Morning PlayStation podcast. Support me, help me keep the lights on. And you know, if you want to help me move to Maine, it would be much appreciated. Very much appreciated. And I'll keep doing more of this podcast and posting more photos, writing content and stuff like that. I have lots in store for the future, and I just need all the help I can get. So I really appreciate it. So let's start off with, let's see here. Latest DualSense update reportedly improves vibration when playing PS4 games. Sony recently released a DualSense firmware update along with this article from PlayStation Lifestyle, along with the latest PlayStation 5 and PlayStation 4 firmware updates. But unlike the latter two, the peripherals update didn't come with any patch notes or details. However, players have been testing the controller to see what changes the update brought are reporting that the DualSense now does a better job vibrating when PlayStation 4 games Viva backwards compatibility. Eurogamer shared a number of comments from multiple users who claim that there is a noticeable difference in quality of vibration. As an example, Reddit user, this person, wrote, "It's changed the way the DualSense vibrates when playing PS4 games, something that was always significantly weak for some reason. The haptic feedback now more closely emulates the feeling of those DualSense 4 rumble motors in games like Rocket League and God of War. It's made a valuable difference after playing games in backwards compatibility for 5 months. It's something I noticed right away. I don't get why it wasn't mentioned in their notes, like everything else. Maybe they plan to perfect it even more over time." Responding to the thread, a number of users claim that their L3 stick drift has been fixed. "I noticed vibrations feeling more rumbly while playing Persona 5 yesterday, but thought I was just crazy. Nice to know it's something that actually has changed," added user, this person. "Played Ratchet and Clank last couple of days and didn't get that much feedback. Tried today after the update, and the control was very responsive," claimed another. "As our readers notice this change, or any other changes for that matter." And you can read the article on PlayStation Live. Former Bend Studio director suggests Days Gone 2's fate hinged on Metacritic score. Former Bend Studio staffer and Days Gone director John Garvin claims, this is a PlayStation Lifestyle article, claims that, in his opinion, Metacritic score is everything to Sony. Last week, Bloomberg's Jason Schreier Schreier, hopefully I get that right, reported that Sony canceled a Days Gone 2 pitch, following which a number of the game's developers left Bend Studio. Garvin, sorry, I'm never going to get names right, who resigned shortly after the game's release, made an aforementioned comment in a video interview with God of War creator Ned Jaffe, who runs his own YouTube channel. "This is just the reality of Sony," said Garvin. "If you're the creative director on a franchise and your game is coming in at a 70, you're not going to be a creative director on the franchise for very long." Garvin then went on to take the blame for Days Gone not appealing to a wider audience, and bizarrely suggest that the game may have done better if it leaned toward being woke and politically correct. "I completely agree that it was on me and Jeff and the guys at Bend Studio and on all of us to create something that would have wider appeal, that would avoid some of the pitfalls that were kind of self-inflicted." He continued, "I'm not saying in any way that we should have all bought into political correctness and became woke and done all the things to satisfy social justice warriors. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that the company making products for millions of people, it's on us to make sure that it is profitably and also appeal to a wide enough audience to grow the brand." And that's what Garvin said. Whether Days Gone 2 will see light of day or not remains to be seen. Yeah, I still haven't played Days Gone, and that is on my bucket list. But overall, I thought the game was interesting, but for me, it just didn't pull me in enough. While it has been Studio's best-selling game, and a game that, kind of helped them out financially. What I first came for was Uncharted Golden Abyss, and then I went backwards in their library, and I was like, oh, they made Siphon Filter, and they made, they even Siphon Filter for the PlayStation 1, I believe. That's how far back they've been with PlayStation. And they made, Resistance game for the PSP as well. Which is actually, a third person good game for Resistance. It's surprising. Let's see here. Netflix's Resident Evil Infinite Darkness will debut in July. New trailer takes Claire and Leon to the White House. Days Gone director on skipped sequel. If you love a game, buy it at full price. He has a blurb there. Don't complain if a game doesn't get a sequel. This is a Push Square article. Oh boy. This whole Days Gone thing just won't stop churning, will it? Speaking in David Jaffe's latest interview video, Days Gone director John Garvin has strong feelings on the sequel situation. As you'd expect, Garvin left developer Sony Bend around 2 years ago, so he's free to speak his mind on Jaffe's show. And it hasn't taken long for Garvin in impassioned comments to do the rounds online. "I do have an opinion on something that your audience may find of interest, and it might make some of them mad." I'm rephrasing. Garvin admits, as transcribed by VGC, "If you love a game, buy it at full price." I can't tell you how many times I've seen gamers say, "Yeah, I got the ad on sale, or I got it from PlayStation Plus, or whatever." So basically the story is, that tends to think, how developers might be getting screwed over with PlayStation Plus in games like Game Pass or something like that. Just all these kind of bundles and deals trying to get them to get, having like a Netflix for games, I mean, when you have lots of bundles like that, there's going to be some costs cutting, there's going to be some things, some of them like Rocket League and a few other games have gotten great success from PlayStation Plus because they are not doing so well, and so they decide to give them for free, or they do so well that they sold enough copies that they don't need profit from the game anymore as people are looking forward towards their other games. And then you got that middle ground that's kind of interesting. That's just, we don't make enough money and our games are not that popular, so should we go with this PlayStation Plus to get our games out to people? Or not, because it's kind of a bouncing act with that. And so that can be hard for developers, especially when you need to make money to pay for your games and pay for all your equipment and services and staffers and whatnot. Because a lot goes on to making games and movies and whatever creative endeavors people do. Some are more expensive than others. But it's just when you have bundles like that, it's kind of hard, especially when you think of, how do artists get paid from Spotify? How do movie makers get paid from like Netflix? How do developers get paid when people download the games from PlayStation Plus? You know, how much? What is their cut? Is it a big cut? Is it a small cut? How much do they get paid? Does it depend on the time they get paid? I mean, how much time a person plays the game? You know, is that factored into make how much how much money they get from the PlayStation Plus? You know, how much of that subscription money do they get? You know, these are the questions that. And at least I don't have the answer for it right now. But if you do have the answer for an opinion about it, you know, feel free to message me at all, because I'm definitely interested in it. And I suggest playing Days Gone. It is free right now. You get it for PlayStation Plus here soon, I believe. But it's also on like all the free PS4 games from the PlayStation 5. Amazon Lord of the Rings console PC MMO canceled due to dispute with company. Thank you. Let's see. No. Stopping PlayStation 5s again. Ritual's latest dev diary discusses enemies and bosses, shows new gameplay. That's from Push Square. Almost there. The latest and probably last episode of Housecast is here. The Dev Diary series has shown a light on Ritual, the upcoming sci-fi shooter from Finnish studio House Marquee. Each episode contains some insight from the team, as well as some snippets of fresh gameplay footage. The most recent is all about the enemies and bosses you'll face on Atropes. The planet on which Celian, whatever her name is, finds herself caught in an endless cycle. We've heard a little bit about the enemies already thanks to PlayStation Blog, but it's good to hear from the game director Harry Kruger about their inspirations and how they'll challenge you as a player. Perhaps the most interesting is the brief new glimpses at gameplay, which is looking as hectic and fast-paced as ever. There's also some awesome concept art thrown in, showing off some of the bosses we'll be failing to conquer. Can't wait. Failing to conquer. Well, already setting yourself up for failure. So, yeah, check out Ritual's new dev diary on PlayStation Blog. Enter a surreal world in atmospheric puzzle adventure. Summertime madness headed to PlayStation 5 and PlayStation 4. This is a PlayStation Lifestyle article. DP Games, and sometimes you, that's funny, have announced a Summertime Madness, an atmospheric first-person puzzle adventure headed to PlayStation 5 and PlayStation 4, among other platforms. In Summertime Madness, players step into the shoes of a painter who somehow ends up being trapped in one of his own canvases. In order to return to the real world, the painter makes a deal with the devil. Well, haven't we heard that one before? That sees him traverse a world of his own creations. Players will uncover mysterious and mysteries and explore artistic landscapes while solving puzzles. An overview of the story is as followed. July 20th, 1945. The city of Pragu, I'm so sorry, was under siege, ravaged by war. Buildings were falling, churches were burning, and everything was to be washed away forever. A painter lived there, isolated from the outside world. The worst the terrors of war became, the more the artist obsessively painted beautiful landscapes as a contrast to the evil he had witnessed. One night, a mysterious figure appeared in the house, seemingly out of nowhere. The stranger walked slowly around the room, inspecting the paint. He then sat down in front of the artist to offer him a deal. The chance to enter one of his own creations, far away and free of war. But he would have to find his way back out before midnight, or else his soul would become trapped in the canvas forever. Feeling alone, on the edge of madness, terrorized by the scent of death creeping in front of the streets, the artist shook the mysterious man's hand, accepting the deal. A few moments later, the house was empty. I don't know why I said it in that voice, but it sounded cool. Summertime Madness will release sometime this year. Check out the trailer on YouTube or PlayStation Lifestyle. DP Games and Sometimes You. That is, I always love when developers pick titles like that, or even film companies. Let's see. Next week's two cross play, cross beta, blah blah blah. No Man's Sky Expeditions gets a hefty patch to fix numerous crashing issues and bugs. Hello Games has released a chunk patch for No Man's Sky's Expeditions update, which fixes a plethora of issues, including patches specific to PlayStation platform. Patch notes are as followed, and you can read all the patch notes on PlayStation Lifestyle, but some of the top, you know, top four are fixed an issue that could result in too many Deerlight freighters spawned in busy systems, leading to crashes and slash or poor performance. It's an issue that could cause players to be teleported to an incorrect Deerlit freighter if several freighters were present in the aim system, and fix a progressive blocker that could occur when retrying the transmitter to speak with Artemis. And there's 100 patches they fixed. And there's always, every time they come out with patches for stuff, there's always more they just didn't write about. Little things. I'm gonna stretch. There we go. SMR my fingers. Weird Metal Gear tweets are making people think an announcement is coming next week. We're not even sure where to begin with this one. This is an article from Push Square. A series of rather cryptic Metal Gear-related tweets have sparked speculation over some kind of incoming announcement. It's all a bit weird, but we'll try to make some sense of it. A Twitter account named Tom Olson was created in April 2021. According to the bio, Tom is a maintenance technician at The Big Shell, the main setting of Metal Gear Solid 2 Sons of Liberty. Tom only follows the official accounts for Metal Gear Kotomi. God, I can't pronounce. I'm failing right now. Hideo Kojima and baseball team, the New York Mets. What's more, all of Tom's tweets have been related to Metal Gear Solid 2 up until this point, complete with screenshots from the game. Ooh, Konami. That's the game. That's the game company I was thinking of. Konami. Jesus. Change history has a time traveler in Wanderer headed to PlayStation VR in Q3 2021. Developers M-Theory and Oddboy have announced Wanderer, a time traveler adventure game for the PlayStation VR, Oculus VR, and Steam VR. Players will step into the shoes of Asher Newman, who's been given the unique task of traveling back in time and changing the course of history. With the fate of humanity lying in his hands, Asher embarks on an unusual journey set in an alternate apocalyptic timeline. It's always apocalyptic. His adventure begins inside his grandfather's apartment, which is full of hidden, mysterious artifacts. Wanderer features escape room-style puzzles and hands-on action sequences. An official overview of the title is as follows. Oh, here we go. I get my voice again. Here we go. We gotta get ready for this. With the discovery of an unusual wristwatch, you forge a friendship and unlock the power of traverse time and space. Take a step back into history to experience beautifully detailed worlds that come to life with realistic and innovative physics-based interactions. Uncover traitors in the dying days of an arms race as you crack codes during World War II. Prepare interact machinery alongside frenzied innovator Nikola Tesla as you help prepare his world power machine. Take the stage in 1969 and give the performance of a lifetime to unite a generation. Defend a king and civilization from what seems to be an inevitable downfall in the 1500s. Accompanied by a cinematic score, Wanderer captures the sounds of these environments with the story as it unfolds. Ooh. Wanderer is expected to release in Q3 2021. M-Theory and Oddboy have yet to confirm a PSVR 2 version. Check out the teaser below. Man. And that was a PlayStation Lifestyle article. PlayStation 5, fastest selling console in U.S. history. Miles Morales outsold Ghost of Tsushima and The Last of Us Part 2 in the country. This is another PlayStation Lifestyle article. The NPD Group has released a U.S. video game market report for the month of March 2021, revealing that the the availability PlayStation 5, the availability of the PlayStation 5 has become the fastest selling console in the country's history in terms of unit and dollar sales. This milestone is based on lifetime sales with 5 months on the market. PlayStation 5 launch title, Marvel's Spider-Man's Morales. PlayStation 5's launch title, Marvel's Spider-Man Miles Morales, has set a new record for Sony Interactive Entertainment by outselling Ghost of Tsushima and The Last of Us Part 2 in the U.S. This feat is particularly noteworthy because Miles Morales is an expansion rather than a full-fledged game. Overall, hardware sales were up 47% year-on-year, setting a new record for a March month at $680 million. Previously, the record was held by March 2008 when U.S. video game hardware market stood at $552 million. With March concluding the first quarter of 2021, NPD noted that Nintendo Switch led the market in terms of unit sales, whereas PlayStation 5 took the crown in terms of dollar sales over the last 3 months. In terms of software, three Sony published titles made the top 10 list of best-selling video games over the last 12 months. As previously mentioned, Miles Morales outsold Ghost of Tsushima and The Last of Us Part 2, ranked at number 5 amongst multi-platform juggernauts like Call of Duty, Black Ops, Cold War, and Assassin's Creed Valhalla. The Naughty Dog title took the 7th spot, and the Sucker Punch hit claimed 8th position. As far as accessories are concerned, DualSense led the category in terms of dollar sales for the month of March as well. As the first quarter of 2021. That was another PlayStation Lifestyle article. Resident Evil Village, PlayStation 5, and Xbox Series X versions will run at 4K to 60 frames per second with ray tracing off. I think that's all you need to know. PlayStation 5 doesn't like it when you put an extra NVMe SSD inside. This is a Push Square article. It won't even boot. That's what it says. Sony has said that it will unlock access to PlayStation 5's M.2 slot later this summer, as it allows players to upgrade their console system storage with an additional NVMe SSD. But what happens if you try to install one right now? According to Digital Foundry, who tested out the feature, your console won't even boot with a stray SSD inside. This obviously makes sense, as the system doesn't officially support the feature just yet. But we're a little surprised by the length PlayStation's gone to stop it from being used. For now, you'll have to make do with an external hard drive, although it's worth noting that you can now offload PlayStation 5 software on a USB HDD for safe storage. But you can't play it off the HDD. Besides PlayStation 4 games, I believe. I got to reread that. Because PlayStation 5 games are meant to be played on the SSD. They're built to be played on the SSD. On that specific kind. Let's see here. No. Let's see what else we can find, you guys. IO Interactive opens Barcelo studio to work on unannounced new IP hitman project. Delo 7 Hitman 3 has been incredibly successful, so much so developer IO Interactive has grand plans for the future of their company. Today they announced the opening of a new studio in Barcelona. Jesus, Dylan. I've always been terrible with names, man. Oh my god. Making this the third IO Interactive studio alongside Copenhagen and IOI Malamu. The studio work on all ongoing projects and universes, including a new announced IP. Details on the brand new IP are yet to be revealed, although we do know it's in active development. In an interview with GamesIndustry.biz CEO Hacken stated it's one of four IPs they've created from scratch alongside Hitman and Project 007, although the others seemingly remain in the RD stages at the moment. He also described it as a bit different and absolutely a love child. It is something our core people, our veteran staff, have been dreaming about for some time. IO has promised more to come from the Hitman universe, even if Agent 47 needs a bit of a breather. While this means there won't be a new Hitman game anytime soon, the content will still continue to roll out for Hitman 3, especially as the game is now three times more commercially successful than Hitman 2. The season of greed is in progress, and there are 3 days left for players to take out the game's third elusive target. If they haven't done so already, there's also another elusive target, another batch of featured contracts and escalation to arrive the season. Starter pack players won't miss out either, as the landslide mission is now available to play for free until April 25th. This is also free for Hitman 3 players for the same period of time. The new studio already has a core team in place, but are recruiting right now. Hacking stated that between the three studios, there are more than 200 employees. Within the next 2 to 4 years, they're hoping the number of staff doubles in size as work continues on their ongoing projects. They also aim to move into publishing too, and not just publishing their own titles. They'll be looking to publish games from other developers in the future. So that's awesome. That's awesome that they want to, Bungie did the same thing, but they're publishing their own games. But that's interesting that they want to publish and help out publish other people's games as well. Let's see here. Cyberpunk 2077. Data mining uncovered new and unused quest descriptions that hint at upcoming DLC. Cyberpunk 2077 PlayStation Lifestyle article recently received a sizable update to fix more of the bugs and gameplay issues players have been facing since launching. Modern as Romulus is here found that the update also added new files that have quest descriptions for content that isn't yet in the game. As reported by Eurogamer, the names for the quests suggest they'll be part of an upcoming Cyberpunk 2077 DLC expansion. Cyberpunk 2077 DLC quest files found existing quests in the main game are split into three categories: prologue, part 1, and epilogue, and receive numbers to match in the game's coding. The new quests added by update 1.2 don't fit into this numbering pattern and have story episode 1 names, hinting at their potential use in the very first large story-based DLC. Interestingly, most of the quests are of a type that isn't in the game right now, but were originally intended to be there at launch. At the start of 2020, it was revealed Street Stories were smaller quests that helped players to explore the city. The original intention was to include more than 70 of these quests in the game, but they never made it into the final cut. The new quest objectives and email exchanges give plenty of hints for what could be included in the Street Stories. There's a quest character called Wagner, the Curtis Militia, creating a hostage situation, a bomb in a swimming pool, and a hidden den of netrunners. One of the more fleshed out quests from Mr. Hands will see players rescue Anthony Anderson from the Scavengers game. He's being held at an unfinished church, repurposed as a shelter called Newcomer's Haven. Mr. Hands is located in Specifica, and the modder feels the in-game data points to the majority of the Street Stories introduced in episode 1 being centered around that area of the city. So there you have it. Summertime Madness. You can finally save your custom weapon blueprints in Black Ops Cold War. Let's see here. Leisure Suit Larry. Wet Dreams Dry Twice comes to PlayStation 4 next month. Oh god. Oh my god. Here we go. Careful now. Note, the above video contains some mature imagery. The lewd point in click adventure series Leisure Suit Larry has surprising endurance. The last game to hit on PlayStation 4 was 2019's Leisure Suit Larry Wet Dreams Don't Dry, and it actually wasn't that bad. Now Symbol Entertainment is returning to its hero, Leisure Suit Larry, Wet Dreams Dry Twice. These names sure are something. So check that out. That was a Push Square article. Next Ubisoft Forward event, dated for June, will be part of 3/2021. Marvel's Avengers brings heroes of the same kind together. Share of the next week. Here's 15 minutes of new near replicant gameplay. Square Enix denies acquisition reports. Let's see here. Marvel Spider-Man Miles Morales is already outsold. Latest PlayStation 5 system update reportedly resolves loud disc spinning issues. PlayStation Lifestyle article. The latest PlayStation 5 firmware update came with a lot of features and a chunky change log. But the patch notes are missing one important update. The numbers of players have been reporting. Apparently, folks who were hearing an annoying, loud, wearying sound periodically with a disc popped inside the Blu-ray drive are no longer experiencing that issue. Folks over at Video Game Chronicles have compiled comments from a large number of users who noticed this improvement. I can confirm that this stupid issue is finally fixed by Sony, wrote Reddit user blah blah blah, who first logged a complaint about it 5 months ago. New system update 2021-04-14 solved this problem. Well, it still does the disc check, but very quiet. I think they semi-fixed it, said another user. It still spins, but it's only two very faint rrrs, and then it goes back down. Yeah, it definitely seems quieter when doing those checks, added another user. It's still pretty blank loud when installing a game. I uninstalled and reinstalled Demon's Souls so I could check this out, but the license check or whatever it might be is much quieter now. I'll leave the disc in when playing a downloaded game to check. And so there you go. I gotta check that myself actually. So if you ever were concerned about that, there you go. Let's see, Resident Evil Infinite Darkness trailer. Now to become a glorious warrior. Tekken 7 breaks 7 million sales, celebrates with updated character artwork. The Ghosts and Goblins Resurrection game is closing. It's coming to PlayStation 4. Resident Evil 4 is being adapted for VR, but it's exclusive to Oculus Quest 2. Unfortunately, no plans for PlayStation VR right now. That's a Square article. After the incredible Resident Evil 7 Biohazard on PlayVR, we've been hoping for some form of Resident Evil Village announcement. Sadly, we're no longer holding our breath for that. But we never have bargained for a Resident Evil 4 VR announcement to fill the void. That's exactly what was announced overnight. However, with the development being led by ex-Metro Prime developer Armature. Unfortunately, no plans for PlayStation VR right now, though. Thank you. Resident Evil Village's mode is designed to provide variety and replayability. The ghost, Horizon Zero Dawn's Aloy makes her grand entrance in Fortnite. I saw that. Let's see here. PlayStation 5's controllers, haptic feedback improved in PlayStation 4. Retro platformer Savage Halloween's release date trailer doesn't have a release date in it. Square Enix denies possible acquisition rumors. The Last of Us TV show casts Gabriel Luna as Tommy, which I don't think I've ever seen this actor. He was in Terminator, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. actor. And I never seen that latest Terminator movie where he was in. Now that he mentions it, I do know who he is, but I don't think I've seen anything that he's been in, because I haven't watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Sorry. I just haven't. I have it on my list. I don't know why I haven't. But and so that's gonna be interesting. I wrote an article about when they first announced Joel and Ellie, which was super cool. Super Monkey Ball Banana Mana, listed by Australia Ratings Board. That's interesting. Resident Evil Village is 4K at 60 FPS on PlayStation 5 and 900p at 45 FPS on PlayStation 4. Mass Effect Legendary Edition will have a photo in case you need the series to take even longer to play through. new limited time Resident Evil Village demo launches. Resident Evil Village demo launches first for PlayStation players. Get the schedule here. This is a PlayStation Lifestyle article. So the limited time Resident Evil Village demo schedule. PlayStation exclusive 30-minute Village demo. So North America, it'll be released April 17th at 5 p.m. To April 18th at 1 a.m. That is a very, limited time. Today is April 18th. Wow, I won't even be playing it today. Available just for 8 hours. The first demo will let PlayStation players visit the game's namesake village and explore freely for 30 minutes before ending. It's also hinted to give you a taste of what the game's combat has to offer. Once the 8-hour period for or your 30-minute gameplay is over, the demo will lock until the next demo session. PlayStation exclusive 30-minute castle demo is available on April 24th at 5 p.m. to April 25th at 1 a.m. And then the second demo, also PlayStation exclusive, will let players the castle Demetris's cramped and labyrinth corridors for 30 minutes of horror, which they say will be a bloody good time. This demo session will again only be available for 8 hours or your 30-minute exploration period before the demo lock to prepare for the bigger session on all platforms. So all platforms, 60-minute village and castle demo, North America, May 1st. At 5 p.m. to May 2nd at 5 p.m. PT time. The final full demo will be available to play for 24 hours and give players 60 minutes to use as they please in either the village, the castle, or both. No matter how you choose to spend your time, once your 60 minutes are up or the demo's availability ends, you'll have to wait for the full release to continue to mine the mysteries that Resident Evil Village holds. You'll be available to preload the Resident Evil Village limited time demo on PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5 to prepare for the short windows that the demo will be available. Although the store page is not available at the time of this writing, you can also still download the first PlayStation 5 exclusive Maiden demo, which doesn't offer combat, but communicates the eerie themes while telling a short independent story set in Resident Evil Village's world. In the meantime, you can also check out their latest trailers as well. Which I'm excited to play that game. I still need to play the first Resident Evil game of the new ones. So I need to play. I need to finish Resident Evil. Was it Resident Evil 7? Right? Village is it Village? I think it's 6. Resident Evil 6. Yeah, Resident Evil 6. I need to finish Resident Evil 6. No. It is 7. This one's 8. Got it. Gotcha. Mass Effect Legendary Edition will have a photo mode. Resident Evil Village. The arcade mode. Resident Evil Village demo coming soon. Chris Redfield features a new Resident Evil. Village trailer, Metal Gear Twitter, Resident Evil, oh my god, there's so many Resident Evil. Rise of the Slime is a cheerful card, battling roguelite, coming to PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5 in the summer. Mr. Blobby, this is a Push Square article. Slay the Spire, and a personal favorite of this author. So news of a roguelike deck-building adventure game is music to our ears. Rise of the Slime is just that, an indie title about battling your way through this land using a selection of powerful cards. PlayStation 5 firmware update fixes game deletion debris. Where to watch the Resident Evil showcase? Skate City brings its chill skateboarding action to PlayStation 4 on May 6th. This is a Push Square article. Lo-Fi Beats the Kickflip to Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2 is great if you want that classic fast-paced arcade fun, but what if you want a more relaxing take on the sport? There are one or two options, but Skate City is looking like a good candidate in a new trailer. The game takes you to the streets of Los Angeles, also and another place where you can skate along to relaxing music and perform all manner of tricks. This isn't about chasing a huge combo. It's more laid-back experience. Although there are plenty of challenges to complete, an endless mode lets you skate along with no pressure at all. So this seems like a good game to help you wind down. And let's see here. I think that is it for this week. I wanted to mention before I end this podcast, here's another one. Over 15,000 people have signed a petition for Days Gone 2. That's a Push Square article. Ain't gone yet. A change.org petition asking Sony to approve Days Gone 2 has been doing the rounds online for the past couple of days. At the time of writing, it sits at 15,000 signature, and it's climbing quite fast. Let me see where the petition is at right now. Let's see. It's loading. It is currently at 44,491. Another 92. Somebody else just signed it. 94, 95. Wow, it's going to end up, their target at 50. But one thing I wanted to talk about is, I talked about last month, is that I just hate that PlayStation 5 is discontinuing the PlayStation 3 and PSP and PlayStation Vita stores. I just hate it, and it's just not going to last, especially if your games are on there. There's going to be an expiration date for your games because the server storage, and server storage and whatnot, but it just sucks, and I hate it, and I just want to tell you that. That's why I always get hard copy games, because you actually have the license to the game, and nobody can take it from you, basically. That's why I like hard copy games. The same thing with movies, especially I get a lot of things on Blu-ray as well, and I just like having movies. Some movies I don't need on Blu-ray, like some stupid comedy, you know, or something that I really don't need to see in Blu-ray. But hope you guys understand what I'm saying. I just wanted to bring this up because I talked about a lot about it last week, and it's just something I just really hate. And as a collector, not a big collector, but as a pretty sizable collector, it's just something that I don't like at all. Especially when PlayStation 5 released their non-disc version. That's a step for Sony to leave disc behind. But it would be harder because you're just going to be locked to that. And especially when I have, you know, movies and stuff and disc content that I want to play, they're just going to cancel and just create a box. And I have to be tied with Sony at all times, which is something I don't want. So, again, that's something I just wanted to bring up. And I love to hear your comments about it. On Twitter at Dylan's Legos, or anywhere else, just message me. But with that said, I hope you guys had a fun time today, and I hope you guys learned a couple things and enjoyed the PlayStation podcast, and found some things interesting and maybe laughed a couple times at my expense. In case you didn't know, I'm Dylan Lepore, and this is the 28th Monday Morning PlayStation podcast. Each and every week on Monday at 6 a.m. Eastern Time, a new podcast released on Spotify, iTunes, and other podcasting services, talking about PlayStation news, games I've been playing, and some commentary on what's happening in my life. And as always, feel free to visit my main site, DylanLepore.com, for blog posts, updates, articles I've written, and much more. So, with that, I'll see you guys later.